Reformed Church.
The past three Sundays, or at least three services recently, I was sharing from Philippians 3. So I want to keep going through that. There are some things that I won't even get into, really, because it takes us into, like what I was teaching at the Chase Me series. This is actually a parallel to all that. And I won't explain all of that, but if we just want to start in verse 10, I'll read you verse 10 again. Again, we've been starting in verse 10. And it just says, that I may know him, that I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Again, so it's just talking about us not living, but the power of his resurrection living through us. In verse 10, again, the important term there is his resurrection. It is referring to Jesus' resurrection, his glorification of his body, right? I know Christians know this, but you do have to tell people this because they don't actually think about this. Jesus died physically, right? He was raised physically. His physical body was raised up, right? His physical body that was pierced, that was bled out, his physical body that, you know, was tortured and whipped. God raised that body and glorified that body. You know, knowing that God has already done that with our forerunner, it's like anything that you have in your body is really not a big deal, right? After the Lord has already gone through, you know, the judgment of the world, and the Holy Spirit raised that body up, you know, in just an instant, you know, it's really not, nothing else is really a big deal after that. But anyway, it's talking about Jesus, the power of his resurrection. And then in verse 11, it says, if by any means I might, or if indeed I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead, I've been saying, this is referring to attaining Jesus' resurrection. Is that right? Because again, that's why I set the context before, that it's referring to Jesus' resurrection. That's talking about his glorification when his body was raised up and the Holy Spirit raised his body up. And Paul was saying, Paul knew, again, listen to the last three parts of this series to get more on this, more explanation, because I'm not going to explain all that background right now. But I will say that Paul believed that he could, in this life, attain to the full stature of Jesus' resurrection. Most Christians will say that nobody is ever going to live perfectly here on this earth until we either get to heaven or until Jesus comes back, that there's not going to be any walking in perfection here. Some Christians will even give it to you that we're perfect on the inside. I'm not sure that every Christian even believes that, but Christians will certainly, I've never heard someone say that in this life that we can walk in Jesus' perfection. This chapter and everything that I've been teaching on for those past three parts shows that Paul did believe that he could attain these things. That's what he was actually setting out to do, to attain these things. Now, he still has not, right? He still can. He still has not attained to Jesus' perfection on the outside. But a couple points on this. Toward the end of the verses we've been reading, around, what is it, 15 or 16, he does explain that we are all perfect on the inside. We have already attained everything on the inside. But when he's referring here to believing that he would attain to the resurrection of the dead, he's referring to just on the outside, attaining on the outside to the things that we already have on the inside of us, okay? So he goes into all that. Then in verse 12, not as though I had already attained either or already perfect, but I follow after. That's super important because if you've heard the Chase Me series, when he says follow after what? What is he talking about? Following after what? Well, what did he say that he wanted to know? The power of Jesus' resurrection, right? What was he setting forth to attain? The power of Jesus' resurrection, right? He said, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. So when he says follow after, what is he talking about? Following after, and that word literally means to follow after, to pursue, or even to, like, you know, to chase, right? And this says, but I follow after. This is referring to following after Jesus' resurrection. This is another verse that would go right along with the Chase Me series, referring to the fact that Jesus, in everything he experienced in his resurrection, according to Hebrews 6, everything that he received when he ascended and went to heaven even, it says that it just calls Jesus our forerunner. Everything Jesus received is not unique to him. He was just the first one to receive these things. Forerunner means someone that runs before you do, right? So when he refers to here, but I follow after, he's saying, Jesus received these things in his resurrection, and I'm following after. I'm coming after him. I am entering into the same things Jesus entered into in his resurrection. And again, what did Jesus receive in his resurrection? That was perfection. The thing I want to bring out with this, and actually before I even go any further, he says here, but I follow after, right? If that I may apprehend that, what's that? Jesus' resurrection, that for which I was also apprehended of Christ. Verse 13, it says, watch this, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And actually, it's the next verse, verse 14. It says, I press toward the mark. That word press is the same word follow after. It's the same exact word, just translated differently. So when he actually says, I press toward the mark, again, what's this mark that he's attaining for, that he's entering into? He's, again, referring to Jesus' resurrection. When he says, I press toward the mark, he's actually saying, I follow after this mark. This, again, the mark being Jesus' resurrection. That's what he was aiming for. And he said, I follow after that mark. And he says, for the prize of the high calling. The word high calling, the way that's translated there sort of sounds like an important calling. But it doesn't mean high calling like an important calling. It means high calling in the sense of, it actually literally means the upward call, like called upward, as in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 maybe. He says, brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. That's what when he says high calling, he's saying the upward call, the call to heavenly things. So you can kind of see all this language here. He's describing that Jesus has already entered these things. I'm following after all this. And then he says, I follow after the mark for the prize. What's the prize? Everything Jesus received in his resurrection. So I'm giving you all these sort of facts on what he's talking about here just to explain this idea that it is not only possible for us to walk in Jesus' perfection, and I'm talking about even a glorification of your body. If you listen to the Revealing series, I teach that our glorified body and the makings of it from Scripture is already on the inside of us, including all the makings of the new earth. And this is why I wouldn't teach someone this first. First, I would get them to understand what they have on the inside of them, because none of this makes any sense if you don't realize that you already have Jesus' resurrection inside of you. Okay? In my opinion, this is how I would advise you even to teach on things like this. You don't just cut to the quick here and just start talking about how you can walk in perfection on the outside, because most Christians don't even think they have perfection on the inside, or at least they don't understand the full extent of that, I should say. You need to get them to understand the kingdom of God is on the inside of them, all the things of the new earth, you know, from Romans chapter 8, is on the inside of the sons of God already, and it just needs to be revealed. You need to show them that as he is, so are we in this world. You need to show them 2 Corinthians 3:18 that says that that the glory of the Lord, we look at him as a mirror, meaning we relate to everything that he has. Because once you get someone to understand that that inheritance really is on the inside of them already, first show them that. First show them that God's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. All these various verses, right, to show them their inheritance. Once you know you're carrying it around with you as a believer and Jesus actually paid for every believer to have this, then it just doesn't make any sense that you couldn't walk in these things, right? And there are verses like this chapter, for instance, just as one of them, that show that we can walk in these things. In fact, Hebrews 6, in reference to Jesus' resurrection, our forerunner who has gone into all these heavenly things ahead of us in his resurrection, it says that we have strong consolation from the Lord to lay hold on this hope, which is literally referring to Jesus, where he went into heaven and ascended in his glorified state. And so you have verses that say that we can walk in these things and lay hold on these things. There's plenty of scripture for that, but again, it's so important that you first, if you don't know who you are as a Christian, it's not going to make any sense for you, if you believe you're imperfect or you don't believe you have all of Jesus' resurrection, for then someone to come up and tell you, oh, we can walk in perfection on this earth. If you think you're just a sinner saved by grace, or we live in a fallen world, and you somehow relate to that, because of course we live in a fallen world, but what is that to you, right? It doesn't make any sense. That has no relation to you. The world will be the world, of course, and unbelievers will be unbelievers. You can't help that. That's their choice. But you're different, right? You know, we're redeemed from this world and from all nations and kindreds and, you know, and tribes and tongues. We're redeemed from these things. But as long as you sort of relate to a fallen state, you relate to your humanity, you relate to your flesh, you relate to everything you see on the outside, and don't know that God has put perfection on the inside, and that you have an inheritance that's greater than anything you've ever seen, And that's all on the inside of the saints, right? Ephesians 1. Unless you understand that first, it's not going to make any sense that you can actually walk in perfection on the outside. So I wouldn't advise just immediately cut to the chase here on this, but for those of us that already understand these things, it's important to know that he is talking about that Jesus not only provided perfection, but of course, if he provided it and the price has already been paid, it makes sense to what Paul's saying, that he believed that that Christians can walk in this. And the answer to the question as to why aren't Christians walking in this is verse 10. Verse 10, Paul said, that I may know. That is right there, the sort of operative word is know, knowledge. We have to get to know the power of his resurrection in order to attain and walk in these things on the outside. And most Christians don't even agree with you in full that as he is, so are we in this world, let alone that we can walk in his perfection, you know, on the outside. So just our knowledge and the way that we speak tells me that we don't know, you know, the power of his resurrection. We don't understand what we have. So then it's not surprising that you don't see Christians just walking around in perfection. So, and again, we're all getting to know that those things, and that's why you don't necessarily see all of it at once on the outside. But I'll say this, though, and I have to just pretty much stop here, but so on one hand, it's important to let people know first what they have as an inheritance. Just talk to them about what they have on the inside. Once you can get them on board with that from Scripture, then proceed and say, well, obviously we can walk in these things, right? So that's an important thing. And also, I want to leave you with this one thing. I thought I'd have a little bit more time to go into this, but I'll just leave you with this sort of thought, is that I believe I mentioned this recently also, that the inheritance and all that we feed on of our inheritance is as much as we want. Jesus provided perfection. He didn't withhold anything from us. Everything that he entered into has been offered to us and even offered to the world as well. These things have been offered, but I think the best way to sum this up would be to say that what you see in this world, even in our own lives, the results you see, most Christians assume that the results they see in this world is what is God's will, all right? But what you see in this world is not a reflection of what God is wanting, but it's a reflection of what people are receiving. That's a huge point, because the inheritance is as much as you want. I could explain that from John 6. I won't have time to do that today, but it is as much as you want. Even Pastor Zay was just teaching this recently, that when people would be healed, even in Jesus' earthly ministry, he would frequently say, like to the Canaanite woman, he would say, that it would be to her as she willed. And then he told the two blind men, according to your faith, be it unto you. And this is the last statement I'll just say on this. Notice he didn't say, according to my will, let it be to you. Because they weren't receiving everything that God really wanted for their life. They were only receiving according to what they were willing to believe. According to your faith, be it unto you. So, really important points. All of perfection is available to us, and that's what God wants for our lives, but and we can take from that as much as we are willing to believe the Lord, okay? But it's never God that's limiting us in what we can walk in. And for Christians that don't believe that you can walk in perfection, I would ask you, why is your Heavenly Father withholding something from you? That's what I would ask them. And they would say, well, because they know God has perfection. So I would ask them, the Heavenly Father that you know loves you, why is he withholding from you? Why is he withholding from you? Because sometimes you can take a purely scriptural approach, and you need to do that for basis, but sometimes people just aren't getting it sometimes, and you have to ask them and bring it to an emotional level and ask them really from a logical perspective. Why is God withholding something from you? Doesn't it make sense that you would share everything with your kids? And if Jesus gave up his life for us, why wouldn't it make sense? All the scripture that I'm giving you right now to show that we can walk in perfection, why should that shock any Christian? If we say God loves us so much, and you know that you are going through problems in your life, in your body, why wouldn't it make sense that God would want to share with you perfection? He has perfection. Why shouldn't that make sense, especially when I'm giving you scriptural evidence? It's a good thing to think on, because people will push back on scriptures like this, that we can walk in a glorified body, that we can walk in perfection. but they don't realize what they're saying when they push back on it. When they push back, they're actually saying, no, God is limiting what I can receive. No, God is limiting what I can receive. So then you have to really see what they're saying and then ask them, why is God limiting you then? Of course he's not, right? We limit what we receive from God. We limit what God actually wants to do in our life, not that God is limiting what we can receive in our life.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.